Isaiah 11 chapter, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, amen, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child, amen, shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles see, and his rest shall be glorious. I want to talk to you this morning on the nature of those in God's kingdom. The nature of those in God's kingdom. We have before us quite a picture Isaiah lays out of the first advent of Jesus Christ and the attributes of his kingdom. The prophet in his writings, amen, lets us know that when God sets up his kingdom, that those who enter in are going to have a nature change. Amen. There's been a lot of theories taught from these scriptures and even a popular song. And I like the tune of it, but I despise the millennium words in it. It's called Peace in the Valley. It's sung by ones like Jim Reeves. It's sung by Elvis Presley. In fact, when I preached Roxanne's grandmother's funeral in Pennsylvania, amen, they played that song, amen. Of course, she's 80-some years old and she liked Elvis Presley, and he sang that song, Peace in the Valley. And here's the way this song goes. I'm tired and weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes to call me away. Oh Lord, while the morning is bright and the lamb is a light and the night is as fair as the day, oh, there will be peace in the valley for me, for me. There will be peace in the valley for me, oh Lord, I pray. No more sadness, no more sadness, no more trouble. Amen, no more trouble there will be. There will be peace in the valley, amen, for me. While the bear will be gentle, the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Oh, yes. And the beast from the wild will be led by a child. I'll be changed from the creature that I am. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me, I pray. Again, he says, no more sadness. Amen. No more trouble there will be. There will be peace in the valley for me. Now this song goes right along with the tracts that are handed about groups who knock on doors and peddle their false doctrine. There you might see a picture of a little child. Amen. A nice open meadow somewhere. Maybe a tree there and a lion standing there. Amen. Designating, amen, such peace that's supposed to be coming on this present world. First of all, in these scriptures, we need to establish that the scriptures are talking about the first advent of Jesus Christ. Keep that in your mind. This is not some, amen, future age. This is the first advent of Jesus Christ. In verse 1, Jesus is called a rod out of the stem of Jesse. And in verse 10, he's called the root of Jesse. Who's Jesse? Jesse is the father of David. Amen. In the genealogy, amen, of Matthew, amen. In the genealogy of Matthew, the first chapter, reread in the verse 6, and Jesse begat David. Amen, the king. And David, the king, begat Solomon, amen, of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And then we read in Matthew 1:16, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Genealogies, amen, which the Jew was big time in genealogies. But they all stopped with Jesus Christ. Isaiah is saying that he who is here spoken of should be of the family of Jesse, amen, or David. Though Jesse had died, and though the ancient family of David would fall into decay, yet there would arise from that family a descendant. Now let's look at another translation. Amen. It says, the royal line of David is like a tree that has been cut down, but just as new branches sprout from a stump, so no king will rise from among David's descendants. Isaiah called him a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A rod is symbolic of what? Of authority. Amen. A rod represents authority, represents power. Amen, and it represents the presence of God. Turn to me to Exodus 7:19. Exodus 7:19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all the pools of water, that they may become blood. And that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood, vessels of stone. What did he say to him? Take the rod, stretch it out. Isaiah 53:2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. I'll raise unto David a righteous branch. Amen. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Go to me to Revelation. I'm giving you these scriptures now. Revelation 22:16. Says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I believe these scriptures verify whom the prophet is talking about. Amen. There was going to be a change take place in God's kingdom never before witnessed by man. This change was going to happen. Why? because of the coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the Word of God. We read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Amen. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. When Jesus Christ came into this world, He was an example of how man should live. Amen. Up to that time, man was told how to live. But when Jesus Christ came, He not only told men, but showed men how to live. A great change was brought about. Amen. He taught man, amen, how he should conduct himself in all manner of his living. Excuse me. In the 11th chapter, the prophet puts before us the change that happens when a man or woman gives their heart to Jesus Christ. Nobody gets into God's kingdom without a change taking place. Come on, you're not in the true church until a change is taking place. You may join these other churches, you may join sectarian churches and not have a change. But when you're in God's kingdom, there's a change take place. Amen. In that 11th chapter, He puts forth that change that happens when a man or woman gives their heart to Jesus Christ. Amen. When you come through the door of Jesus Christ, it's like stepping into another world. Amen. Amen. I gave you the lyrics of the song, Peace in the Valley. And the way the words are used is how millennials use, amen, these verses. Don't enter into conversation with these people and don't bid them Godspeed. I've told you the story, and it's, amen, it bears repeating. When I worked at Rockwell, I had just gotten saved. And I was happy as a lark, praising the Lord. Well, this individual that worked there knew that I got saved. Pretty well the whole department knew that I got saved. They called it got religion. But I got saved. Well, anyhow, this brother was working, amen, he was working second shift, and I was working third shift. So what I would do when I come in and punch the time clock, amen, and go around the office to get my direction for the night, I start down the aisle, here he would come. And he would kind of lock his arm into mine and walk me right down the aisle. And he would talk to me about religion. And I was ignorant of a lot of things. I didn't know a lot of scriptures to combat him with, but he started in, and he started reciting some scriptures and going on and on. And I didn't know what in the world to talk to him about, so I went home that night, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I don't know scriptures to combat him with. I don't know amen, the way to answer his scriptures. It seemed like God impressed on me, talk to him about what you do know. So I was ready for it. He came in and away we went, as before, down the aisle. He says to me, he starts in on some scriptures. And I said, Paul, his name was Paul. Paul, I want to ask you something. He said, what's that? What's that, Roger? I said, well, can you live holy? Or do you live holy? Why? No. Nobody can live holy. I said, then what do you have to offer me? I said, I'm living holy now. The last he ever approached me. Amen. Why? He was a minister. Amen. In that religion. And they told me, guys would tell me, they go to his house, he had beer in the refrigerator and everything. Amen. But don't bid these people that knock on your door Godspeed. Don't take their literature. Why? It'll confuse you. Amen. All the devil needs is just put in a little bit of confusion or question in your mind. Our brother used to go to this congregation, had a good experience. I worked with him at Rockwell. He used to testify. He had quite a name going around Rockwell. Amen. As a man that really had the goods. And I was a good friend of his. And he let these people into his house thinking he could handle it. And he wound up joining that sect. I walked out of the factory one day. I was in there on a Saturday. And I was walking out. And I seen him working on a line. So I went over and talked to him. Asked him how he's doing. He said, oh, I'm doing good. He said, I asked him to put me on this line. Amen. I don't want to work on any military line because the Bible says you don't learn war anymore. Amen. You know, and he was quoting on Isaiah. And I thought, my, that's a far cry from the testimony you had before. But verse 6, amen, of this chapter, amen, says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together as a little and a little child shall lead them. Now we know Isaiah is talking about murderous animals. Every one of these animals will take you out. Every one of these animals, amen, in the wild, amen, are going to eat you up. Amen. Amen. Now, as we get into this, amen, I want to say this. He mentions the nature of animals and the change that takes place when they put on righteousness. He mentions a wolf. The lamb, the leopard, amen, the kid, the calf, the young lion, the fatling, the cow, the bear, the lion, the ox, the asp, or the viper, cockatrice or vipers. What's the prophet talking about? Why all these different animals? Surely God isn't interested in changing the nature of animals. Jesus didn't die for animals. Amen. We learn how to dwell with these animals, amen, on the same earth. We know how quite a few of these animals react, amen, to human surroundings. Now let's look at the nature of just some of these creatures. Everybody knows what a snake will do. Amen. They know a snake, a viper is poisonous. You know they'll kill you if they bite you. All right, how about the wolf? Let's look at their nature. Ezekiel 22:27 says, her princesses in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening to prey, to shed blood, destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. Habakkuk 1:8. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as eagle that hasteth to eat. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Acts 20:29. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now we've read several scriptures, and there are more that explain what a wolf is. They're ravenous. Amen. They're dangerous. They're grievous. And Habakkuk called them the Eden wolf. That is because they like to hunt, amen, in the darkness. Paul said that after his departure, grievous wolves were going to attack the church of God. Another translation says this: the time will come when some men from your own group will tell lies to lead the believers away after them. Look at the nature of these spiritual wolves. They're grievous. They're dreadful. They love to work in darkness. Now we know that literal wolves would love to eat a lamb. That's just common sense. Well, spiritual wolves like spiritual lambs. Young Christians are considered lambs. Amen. They're much easier to lead away. John 21:15. Let's prove it. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. After that, he says what? Feed my sheep. Amen. Wolves don't have to work very hard to catch a lamb if there's no protection around. Amen. And wolves like to hunt in packs. Amen. What? They lead believers astray. Amen. What did he say? Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Now we know that there's a leopard, and you know that a leopard is bad news. He's a very sneaky animal, and he can run in tremendous speeds. Amen. Up to almost 36 miles an hour, like a car going to a city. He can stay right alongside of a car. He's that fast. He has to be fast to outrun some of these deer like gazelles in Africa. He's very fast, and he's very strong. He can carry heavy carcasses. Amen. And one of his great abilities is the ability, amen, not only to carry it, but to climb trees. Amen. The prophet said, the leopard will lay down with a kid or a goat. Amen. Why would God change animals? Is that what needs changing? Is this what the prophet is talking about? Changing animals? Animals are not causing a problem. Animals are not out here sinning. Amen. You don't see the male, amen, marrying another male. You don't see the females, amen, grouping with females as far as mating is concerned. Amen. They haven't changed since creation. They're just like God made them. The calf, the young lion. We could go on and on about animals. But the truth of what this prophet is talking about is the nature of people. There's diversities of nature in people. But every one of them, when they come through that door, whether they growl like a bear, amen, or if they're bold like a lion, amen, or if they're sneaky like a leopard, they're changed. They're changed. It's not unusual to use animals to describe the nature or characteristics of men. Let's go to some examples. Amen. Just some scriptures, amen, we used earlier. Acts 20:29. After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. We explained to you how a wolf acted. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets as come to you in sheep's clothing, for verily they're raven wolves. We know Paul and Jesus was using allegories. What? To portray evil men. John used a viper. Amen. To describe the Sadducees and Pharisees. He said in Matthew 3:7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Luke 13:32. Amen. He said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, amen, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, the third day I shall be perfected. This is somebody to talk to. He's not talking to a literal fox. Talking to Herod. These different names of animals describe the nature, the characteristics of men. They were like the animal they were called. The 11th chapter of Isaiah is misused, misinterpreted, mistaught, twisted, amen, to fit, amen, a millennium. Why would God change animals? But it's changed to fit a millennium theory, and it's far from the truth. When those Jehovah Witnesses knock on your door, amen, don't answer it. Don't take their trash. Because it's all about a future, amen, generation, amen, and these scriptures are going to be quoted, amen. They portray peace here on earth, but he's not talking about peace on earth. Amen. There's reasons why this, amen, this is not, amen. These things can't be sold, amen. He's talking about animals, amen. He's not talking about, like I say, peace on earth, amen, portrayed by false teachers and Jehovah Witnesses. He's not talking about peace in the valley, as the song goes. Amen. Where is he talking about the peace at? Where is the peace the prophet's talking about? He tells us. We don't have to be in the dark what he's talking about. Go to verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Holy mountain. What is the holy mountain? It's a church of the living God. The prophet is talking about what makes up the kingdom or the church. Amen. Well, the scripture says, my holy mountain. Well, what is God's holy mountain? Go stay in Isaiah and go back about 9 chapters to the second chapter. Let's pick up verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house, amen, shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Listen, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The prophet mentioned what? Out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Well, let's pick this up in the New Testament. Go with me to Luke 24:47. Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all, and preached in his name among all nations, where? Beginning at Jerusalem. The prophecy is dealing with the church of God. And that's where warring spirits come to an end. You cannot have a warring spirit and be a member of God's kingdom. Verse 4 said he'll judge among the nations. Isaiah 11:3-4 says, shall make of him quick understanding. Amen. And the fear of the Lord, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Amen. Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the bread of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Judge and reprove means rebuke. In Isaiah 2:4, the prophet said, judge and rebuke. Where is it all this going to take place at? In God's holy mountain. Joel 3:17 says, so shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion. What did he say? My holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. Both Jerusalem and Zion are a dual symbol of the church of God. Zechariah 8:3 says, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and a mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Hebrews 12:22 says, you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and what? Church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, and the spirit to just men made perfect. Isaiah, in the 11th chapter, is not talking about peace and righteousness in the world, but rather in the church. Animals do not have a soul. Animals are not like you and I. Oh, I know they're lovable creatures and we get attached. Amen. But they don't have a soul. Amen. There is no doggy heaven. That stuff is foolishness. Animals don't go to heaven. Jesus Christ didn't die for animals. He died for you and I. He told the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Not the thief and his dog, but the thief. He didn't die for animals. Amen. Dogs and all other animals don't know a thing about the plan of salvation. Let's get some prophecy again. Let's go to Isaiah. Stay right there in Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 35 and pick up verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way. It'll be called the way of holiness. And that's still the way of the church. The unclean shall not pass over. Shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return. And they'll come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. Again, what is Isaiah, the prophet, in the 11th chapter talking about? A change in people's natures. The change that was going to take place when Jesus came in his first advent. Amen. A change that was going to take place to all those who accepted Jesus Christ into their heart. And also those who received the judgment, rebuke, and righteousness that Jesus brought. Isaiah 2 and 4 says, he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nations, neither shall they learn war anymore. I'm going to repeat, church. Warring spirits are left behind when one's come through the door, Jesus Christ. Now there's a big difference between a sword and a spear and a plowshare and a pruning hook. Spears and swords are for wars. And pruning hooks and plowshares are for working in the kingdom of God. Luke 9:62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Micah 4:1, minor prophet Micah 4:1 says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of Jacob. He who teaches of his ways will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth to Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people. Amen. Rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk, every one, in the name of his God, and will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And in that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I'll gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I'll make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. In God's kingdom or church, fleshly natures are put away, and we become partakers of His divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Having escaped what? The corruption that is in the world. Amen. When you escape the corruption that's in the world. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Warring spirits, fleshly attitudes or works of the flesh, amen, are put away. Galatians 5:24. We're just about through. We just wanted to teach along this line this morning. God knew that, so he had the invitation first. Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Amen. Peace and tranquility sounds good to ones who have witnessed trouble and chaos most of their life. When I came to Christ, I don't know about you, but when I came to Christ, I was so sick and tired of the humdrum and all the stuff that goes on in the world. The stuff of not having any peace, of constantly being at war over something. Amen. And all that, amen, is in the world. But Jesus Christ, amen, what he brings is peace and tranquility. Amen. Not world peace, but soul peace to all those who believe. The Bible says in Romans 14:17, amen. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness, peace, joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. This is the peace you can have right now when ones repent. It follows repentance. And what is it a product of? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Where is it found? In the Holy Ghost. Somebody said you don't get the Holy Ghost to the second work of grace. Look at that scripture. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Tell me when you get that and you got the Holy Ghost. You get it when you get saved. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. Isaiah the 11th chapter. These prophets use symbolic metaphors, allegories, whatever you want to call them. They took animals to display the nature, diversities of men, nature. Amen. And a change that takes place where? In God's holy mountain. Amen. In the kingdom of God. Amen. You go to verse 9 in that chapter, and it tells you that he's not talking about out here in the world. He's talking about his holy mountain. Amen. When you come to Jesus Christ, whatever nature you had, you could have been growling like a bear. Amen. You could growl like a lion. Amen. Be a fierce acting like a lion. You may be sneaky like a leopard. Or sneaking like a reptile. But whatever, God changes your nature. Amen. When you become partakers of his divine nature. So what's he talking about? The change that takes place in God's kingdom. Let us stand.